How's it going, everybody? And welcome to a surprise episode of Detroit Talk Podcast, episode number 4 of the new season. Kind of had some free time, so I thought I might do a bit of a rambling on the game last night, since it's kind of I really haven't had a whole lot to talk about regarding basketball. I know there's been a lot of football stuff going on, and we talked a little bit about the Lincoln Riley hire last time, but the basketball season took a little bit of a hiatus, about 3 weeks due to the COVID outbreak. I think after the last episode, there might have been a couple games that was played, maybe between Irvine, I think, and Georgia Tech. The Irvine game was a really close one, really good game. Barely squeaked out of that one, but honestly thought it was a really good win. Irvine, I think, is really underrated. They have that really good player, power forward. So happy for that win. Probably could have played a little bit better, but again, undefeated. So moving on to the next game, what I say, Georgia Tech. So that I thought we actually played really, really well. They also had one really good player. It kind of seems like every team that we play this year has one really good player. But we seem to find a way to kind of adapt to it. And even if the one player goes off, we kind of shut down the rest of the team, which I think is a viable way of playing these teams. If we can, I mean, you can either try and shut down their star player and win that way, or let the star player do what they want, but then really shut down everybody else. And I think either way is a viable way of doing it. So that was a solid win. And I think after that, it basically went into kind of a 3 week stretch of just nothing. So it was nice to see the team come out yesterday and win against a Cal Golden Bear team that I didn't think was very good, just off of kind of recalling the last couple of years of Cal. But they have a new coach who I think is from Georgia, or at least he recently coached at Georgia. And he has them playing pretty well. I mean, they have some pretty good players. And Ntisevic and Shepard, I guess, was their transfer. And Ntisevic just feel like he's been there for, like, I feel like 4 years. Like, literally, he's been there forever. He's drastically improved, has a really good shot, just a really good player. But yeah, they have a good squad. They play good team basketball. Pretty good defense, have some good bigs. So going on the road to win by 14 in a pretty tough place to play. I think for the most part, most of the Pac-12 away, like the stadiums or the arenas or whatever you want to call it, they're pretty tough places to win. Pac-12 kind of has a tendency to just beat up on each other, and usually when you win your home games and you lose a lot of your away games. I know Colorado has a good home field advantage, Washington State, Oregon State does, Arizona State does, and then Cal obviously too, and then UCLA with Poly Pavilion, and USC plays pretty well at home too. So anytime you can go on the road in the Pac-12 and win, and especially win by double digits against a team that it's 2-2 in conference, so they're not a joke by any means. That's a good win. Definitely wasn't clean all the way through, and I was kind of interested to see how they were going to respond after a 3 week break. Usually, you think after a 3 week break, the thing that's going to be struggling is the offense, because you usually need to get into a rhythm to make shots and run your sets and all that stuff. And I was expecting a lot of bad passes and whatnot, but really, not that many turnovers compared to how we usually are, or at least have been the last couple of games. Only 9 turnovers. There were some pretty atrocious turnovers, some pretty bad passes throughout the game, but for the most part, pretty clean game. Doorbell rang. But the thing that surprised me was we came out really strong. We came out making our shots. We came out, running our sets and getting pretty good looks. The only problem is the thing that I thought we would be good at would be our defense, because that really doesn't go away. Through breaks and whatnot, but that was pretty bad to start the game. I mean, they were getting anything they wanted. They were making all their shots, getting easy buckets, and I think they had about 20 points through like 10 minutes through the game, which is, unheard of for a USC team to be giving up that. But it's a testament to say that they only ended up with 63 to finish the game. So we did turn it up a notch on the defensive end, and I think they figured out what they wanted to do. There's basically two people that were going to hurt you on that team, and we took away, I think, one of them in the first half with foul trouble, and then kind of just made it a little harder for Ntisevic to be making his shots too. So we figured it out, at least a little bit, and I think that's kind of why we went up late in the second half and then kind of just held our advantage for the rest of the game. So I don't have too many notes for this podcast, since it was kind of spur of the moment. So I'm just going to be kind of looking at the box score and whatever comes to mind, I'll start talking about. So starting with Isaiah Mobley. So yeah, he has been probably the most consistent player we have on our team. And sorry, that's the dog barking. He's not going to stop barking. But yeah, he shoots, 50% or greater pretty much every game. Is our best 3-point shooter, honestly. He's starting to make his free throws a little bit more consistently. I mean, he's always had a good stroke, even the last couple of years, but for whatever reason, I think mentally he just wasn't good at the free throw line. But 5 for 7 today, so not bad. Always consistent with his, anywhere from 7 to 11 rebounds. He had 9 today or last night, and then not as many assists actually last night. Usually he's good for 3 or 4 a game, maybe even more, but he only had 1 assist. But that he played very well last night, and was good kind of distributing the ball when he needed to distribute the ball just around like the perimeter, but also was, when he needed to body up and go down to the post and get a couple, hard-earned buckets, he would do that last night. Goodwin also a really strong performance last night. It was kind of a quiet 12 points. Didn't have many rebounds like he usually does, only 4. And really didn't have foul trouble either, but it just kind of seemed like he wasn't really like a dominating factor in the game, but he quietly contributed on a couple of really key instances. I think the one that comes to mind is late in the game. I think it was like a when they started making their run after we were up 15. I think they got it to within 8, 7 or 8, and we were deep into the shot clock, and I think Goodwin was gonna just ask for the ball to give it back to Boogie, and instead of giving it back to Boogie, he faked like he'd give it back to Boogie and took it to the rack, made a really nice layup with his right hand on the left side of the basket, and really tough shot for a big man to do. He did it really well. So I feel like he's really clutch, comes in, big moments, even if he only plays 25 minutes like he did tonight. Really provides the versatility to just, take the pressure off of Mobley and contribute when he can contribute. Next is Boogie Ellis, who I thought had a great game. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. So nothing, crazy on the stat sheet, but he just looks a lot more confident than he was in the last 5 or 6 games. I think he started breaking out of his slump in the Georgia Tech game, but you could still tell his shooting slump is there. He's not making his jump shots like he was to start the season. However, he really is being a lot more aggressive and getting to the rack, which is, what he's really good at. He's good at finishing. He's good with his body control. He's very quick off the dribble, and he can get to the rack and finish. And that's how you get your confidence up. You make the easy shots, or at least the ones closer to the basket, because those are more likely to go in. Once you see a couple go in, then you get more confident, and the threes will start falling soon. I have a good feeling about that. Ethan Anderson, so nothing too crazy last night. 2 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. He's kind of a stat sheet stuffer. Never going to be, too much in any category, but I think he did come up pretty clutch in a couple of his, drives like he always does. He's a very strong guy, so he can finish with the bigger guys, but I still am seeing some passes where it's just, unforced errors that a junior captain shouldn't be making, especially as a point guard. Just bad passes, whether they're just, physically bad passes or just bad decisions. There's still too many of them. And, if we want to go deep into the tournament, we're going to have to rely on our big guys. But I think the guards are what's going to make us, separate us, because our big guys have been consistent all year. But if our guards play well, then the sky's the limit pretty much. Okay, next, Drew Peterson, probably the star of the game, had a fantastic game with 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 1 assist. Although it really felt like he distributed the ball a little bit better than that, but like really, really fantastic performance. He's kind of assumed the role of when the Trojans don't know what to do with the ball with 6 seconds left, throw it to Drew and just kind of let him do whatever he wants. And whether that means driving, whether that means pulling up with a three, step back jumper, fadeaway jumper, he kind of has a, arsenal of shot selections that we don't really associate with Drew Peterson, or at least not before this year. But really impressed with how he's improved his game, especially offense. And he was really good last year at kind of being the point forward, but he's really a scorer now. Like he's probably, I would argue probably the second best scorer on the team right now. And you would think Boogie Ellis and Isaiah Mobley would be the runaway favorites for those, the top two in that category, but I would say Peterson has been a little bit better than Boogie so far, scoring wise. and creating his own shot. And it really just seems like he makes clutch shots too. There were a couple, pull-up jumpers and just drives that were at really crucial parts in the game that kind of helped us keep what seemed like it was like a constant 4 or 5, 6 point lead in the first half and second half, which is, good to keep them at arm's distance. They did, kudos to them for the Cal Golden Bears for not letting us blow them out in the first half or second half, not towards the end of the game. Did it get above 10 points really? Anytime we would get close to like 8 or 9, they would hit a three, or and it would just kind of stick around 6 points. And I think Drew was key in making that to where it didn't go to 3 points, 2 points, 1 point, or like even like a tie ball game. We kept the lead for I think basically the whole game, which is pretty good, or at least after the first 10 minutes or so. So really good there. Bench wasn't too crazy today. Josh Morgan kind of quiet, 4 personal fouls. Didn't really look like he was, the Josh Morgan that we've seen all year. Kind of seemed a little timid, a little slow on to react on some things. But I think he'll clean it up when he gets more into a rhythm the rest of the next couple games. Max started really slow, had a couple of really bad fouls, a turnover on the break, and I was like, oh no, the Max that doesn't think and just does. There's two sides to that, right? I think Max not thinking and just doing is really valuable because he has no conscience and he doesn't let things get to him. But if he's really in a bad flow, he just the mistakes kind of compound and he really doesn't contribute, anything good to the team. However, I think in the second half came out just firing, scored 7 points, I think, in the second half, 4 rebounds, hit a clutch three to I think stretch the lead to double digits, which was kind of like the nail in the coffin, I think, for the game. And he always plays hard and did really good job defending their scoring guard, Shepherd. And he, just his length and his agility, it's really hard to shoot over him, or at least makes the guards think a little bit when they're shooting. And I really would like to see him be kind of like the lockdown threat as we progress through the Pac-12, but just put him on the other team's best offensive threat and just tell him to go to work and see what we can do, create some turnovers, at least make it tough on him so that we can kind of take him out of the game. Yeah, other than that, I think that's about it. I basically covered every player. I mentioned a couple of Cal's really good players. I thought they're, Antisevic and Shepherd were really good players and well-coached team and definitely going to make some noise. I wouldn't be surprised if they, get 500, maybe like 8-8 or whatever it may be, due to all the cancellations this year. They might, beat a good team like UCLA or Arizona. I wouldn't be shocked, especially playing at Haas Pavilion. They seem to play well there. I think they won 9 games coming into this season. Or I don't know if it was a combination of last season and this season, but they definitely know how to protect their court. Quick venture into the team stats. So I think every game up until this game, we had held the opponent under 40% shooting, and Cal had 40.7% shooting, which is a shame that we could not keep that streak going. But I still thought the defense did really well today. And our free throws, that's another thing I guess we can talk about. Not expecting too much from that, but we shot 85% from the free throw line. I think the only two misses were Isaiah on his 3-point foul shot, where he made the first and I think missed the last two. So I think Isaiah White went to the line. Boogie made all of his free throws, and Isaiah made all the rest of his free throws. So really good performance there. We out-rebounded them by 15, which is good. I mean, that's what's going to be our advantage basically the whole year. So we need to keep that rebounding advantage. Second chance points. We had 10 offensive rebounds, and really the length, creating turnovers, or at least not even turnovers, but just tough shots and getting the rebounds off those tough shots is what makes us so good. So hopefully we can keep up with that. But that's basically it. I mean, looking at the Pac-12 conference standings, USC is first at 3-0, 13-0 overall. Second is Arizona, who, I'm going to be objective, and I think that Arizona is probably the best team in the Pac-12 right now. UCLA probably third. I think USC is safely second so far. But Arizona, I think, have that extra level that USC has yet to find this year. I mean, we haven't really played any truly top teams, but Arizona has played a couple good teams and has looked really good doing so. They have one loss, but still think they're the team to beat. And if we could, I don't know if we're playing them twice this year or not due to like the COVID cancellations or just the scheduling, but if we can play them twice and split, you know, 1-1, that would be a fantastic outcome, I think. Because they're going to be our main competition. UCLA looks pretty good too. 9-1, 1-0 overall in the conference. I can't really say too much. I haven't watched them play recently. They also had a pretty big COVID break, about 3 weeks, just like USC. And then, yeah, so the rest of the standings, Colorado, 10-3. Wow, didn't actually know they were that good this year. I think they just beat Washington State, but that was Washington State without their best player. And Cal's the next team in the conference at fifth place right now. So they're, yeah, that's a good win on the road against the fifth place team in the Pac-12. I think the next game we have was supposed to be tomorrow on Saturday. However, it was postponed, but I believe it just got rescheduled to Tuesday. So I think we're playing Stanford on Tuesday, and I think that's away at Stanford. Don't really know too much about the Stanford team. Just taking a quick look at them right now. Looking at who they beat, really nobody. Lost to Baylor by 40 points. Oh my God, wow. Lost to Colorado, lost to Texas by 7, which isn't really a bad loss. They beat Wyoming, which is, I think, a pretty good team this year. So yeah, definitely not someone to overlook. They could, you know, after them beating us on that half court buzzer beater, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, I still have some sour taste in my mouth. So definitely want to beat them and don't let them get a, you know, a win that they really shouldn't be getting over us when we're clearly the better team. So I think that's about it. Maybe I'll continue some podcasts when I have some free time. I'm looking to probably do something with football around signing day, maybe to kind of recap the recruiting class and the transfer portal targets and all that. But it's just I didn't want to do too much because there wasn't a whole lot of recruiting stuff because of, you know, coaching changes and early signing day mixed with late signing day. A lot of our people are transfers, so I think it's probably best to wait to do a podcast on that until the dust settles and we kind of know where everything stands and everybody's transferred out and everybody's transferred in, kind of things like that. Other than that, no real shout outs that I can think of. But if anybody has any suggestions, feel free to text me or email me or tweet me, DM me, whatever it may be. If you want me to talk about something, I'd be happy to do it. But yeah, maybe we can get the boys back on for the next podcast. This one was kind of last minute, so I didn't let them know, but would be excited to talk pretty much about anything sports. I think right now it's kind of a lull with no football, and you know, fantasy football's over, no Formula One. Soccer might be worth talking, but I think we kind of vowed to never talk about soccer on the podcast because we're all miserable and it would just be us ranting on how our teams aren't doing as well as they should do. So I don't know if you guys would want to hear that. But yeah, that's about it. Thank you guys for listening to this impromptu podcast, and I'll see you guys next time. I just wanted to do a quick edit. I realized that I forgot to talk about Isaiah White. After looking pretty shaky throughout the most of the, you know, being the season, whether it be ankle injury, back injury, academics, he just really hasn't looked himself and really was a key contributor last year to our run, especially in the tournament. He provides that burst of energy, and I really thought I saw that last night. So I wanted to give a shout out because he really sparked, you know, run the first half with this, you know, hustle, got a steal and a dunk, and just attacking the rack. So just wanted to give him a shout out and just say I didn't forget you because you're one of my favorite players on the team, always fun to watch. And when he's on, he makes USC a lot better.